Hello and welcome to another episode of Soundography, a crash course in music, one band at a time. I'm Brian Ibbett.
And I am Hammond Chamberlain.
And today we are venturing forth into someone who is knighted, apparently. Is this the case? He was knighted? I know. I just saw that damn Robot Chicken video, but he is a Sir Mix-a-Lot. Not just Mr. Mix-a-Lot, but Sir Mix-a-Lot.
Yeah, I gotta be honest. I really, when I discovered him in 91, mm-hmm. he filled a cool spot for me in my rap listening, because he wasn't gangster rap, but he wasn't Will Smith. So he actually was in this kind of interesting area of being, I don't know, something different.
Yeah, I mean, he's pop enough that he can appeal to kind of that pop sound, but he pretty much works within that typical rap realm of, I have a lot of money, I have a lot of women, I'm going to tell you songs, I'm writing songs about how much money and how much women I've got.
Yeah.
And how good I am at managing both.
It's funny, though, he's not a sweary guy.
No, he really isn't. No, it doesn't come up a lot. Actually, I think I hear the N-word more than I hear the F-bomb or. Very interesting. And yeah, I enjoyed this week a little bit more than I thought I would, but I'm ready not to listen to Sir Mix-a-Lot, except like for maybe one album ever again.
Like I said last week, I own three of these.
Wow. I'm guessing it's the first three, right?
It is the first three. And SWAT, yeah, oddly enough, is my favorite.
Interesting. Okay. I really liked SWAS, but I gravitated more towards Mac Daddy.
Good for you.
Yeah. And it's not just because it's got his biggest hit on there, but it's, you know, it's, I don't know, connected more with music. I'll say this about Sir Mix-a-Lot, and this is probably why he's a Sir, is he's got really good diction.
Yes, he does. Right?
Very clear and easy to understand.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Which I actually really like. I actually appreciate that. Probably more than even I realized. All right, well, let's get to it. Sir Mix-a-Lot's real name is Anthony L. Ray. He was born in 1963. Not only a rapper, he's a songwriter and producer as well. Born and raised in Seattle, Washington. And after high school, he started DJing parties. In the early 80s, he met Nasty Nez Rodriguez, home of the West Coast's first rap show on Seattle's KKFX.
I can't tell you how disappointed I was that it wasn't on KACL.
Why is that?
He was working with Frasier then.
Oh, KCL's Frasier's station. Okay, that's right. Yeah. So I was like, I don't recognize KCL, huh? Hello, Sir Mix-a-Lot. I'm listening. In 1983, he partnered with Mr. Nasty and Ed Locke to found Nasty Mix, which was their own record label. And the first song to gain any popularity outside of Seattle was Square Dance Rap.
Now, I love Square Dance Rap. One of the first songs I introduced both of my kids to when they were young was Square Dance Rap.
Fun song, and I'm glad you bring it up, because it is entertaining for sure. Yeah. This is the first song on SWAS, right?
If I remember correctly. And I'll also tell you too that there's a significant difference between the early version of it, mm-hmm, and the version that's on the album.
Oh, really? Okay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I'll have to look for that. Is the single available online to listen to?
Streaming? I found somewhere? It on YouTube.
Okay, I'll find it there for sure. Yeah. He rapped the song slow, and then he ramped up the pitch in post-production. He later said that, quote, I didn't want to rap. That's why I used this weird Smurf voice.
I always thought that was somebody else. I'll be really honest. I always thought that was somebody else.
Was it Diction Smurf?
I smurfed the Smurf out of that rapping.
Right, exactly. While on tour, he found other places with streets named Broadway. And some even had a place called Dick's, a restaurant called Dick's, and that inspired him to write Posse on Broadway.
There was a Godzilla remix of this that I freaking love.
Yeah, Posse on Broadway, yeah.
Posse on Broadway. and it's got the, you know, when they do that bah, bah, that kind of the horn noise, they use the Godzilla roar in that.
Oh, really? Oh, yeah, I have to look for that, really, too. Really
good.
All right, cool. 1988, the aforementioned album, Swass. This was his debut album. This contained his two prior singles, as well as a cover of Iron Man backed by Metal Church.
Now, in the first release in 1991, they actually have Metal Church singing and yelling the Iron Man part, like just Iron Man. And then it was removed in subsequent releases.
Now, I didn't think this was as much a cover as it is just sampling.
Yeah, they call it a cover, but it is definitely sampled. I mean, yeah.
Don't call it a cover. Get it? Don't call it a cover. Anyway.
It's actually more like live sampling, since you had a band come in and play it.
Well, and I'm totally going to allow it, because I'm going to be using that same definition of cover when I talk about who I'd like to see Sir Mix-a-Lot cover later on in the show.
All right.
So I'm totally okay with it, but
there's an asterisk to it.
That's right, exactly. And I actually did enjoy that cover. I might have a song I might have included in my top five had you not already. In 1990, the album Swass was certified platinum. The album after Swass came out a year after Swass. It was called Seminar. The singles from this one were My Hoopty, Beepers, Gore-Tex, and I Got Game.
So Beepers and Gore-Tex means he's going to be out in the cold and the wet waiting for people to get a hold of him. Looking for a knocking, smart investment, keep me clocking. You know, a bet only got two seats, just enough room for a player and a freak. Rolling at the park and I seen this cutie LA face with the Oakland booty. She's on tip, but I'm playing that role. Talking to the homeboy, showing my goal. Skis on bail. Game and I'm spitting it well, rolled up. Right,
exactly. And just feels like it speaks to a very specific time. A very specific 1988 time. What's a beeper, Daddy? What's Gore-Tex? he's got another song called Leg Warmers. I like them. Keeping them ladies' legs. Anyway. Warming them ladies' legs.
So you've taken what happened to you when you listened to Zappa.
Yeah,
and done it now, Sir Mix-a-Lot.
Oh, have I? What did I do? Oh, where I made my own Zappa song?
Yeah, where everything you say comes out in the form thereof.
I will admit that after listening to, I think, three albums in a row I did, Seminar, Mac Daddy, and Bootnaka, for a while I was just talking like that. Like, let's see what's on TV. Please pass the salt. Like you said, he's got a great DJ voice. Like, even if he didn't rap, I'd expect that he'd be doing something in entertainment or communication, because he's got a great speaking voice. Totally.
Yeah, and also he's also seems to be a genuinely good dude.
He does. Yeah, for sure. In 1991, he was signed to Def American. They also bought the rights to his first two albums.
I think that's when things started. I think that's when the remixes and the word changes came up.
Yeah, probably.
Yeah.
That would make sense. 1992, he came out with Mac Daddy. This, of course, contained the single Baby Got Back. It was a smash and went double platinum. There's a song on there called Sprung on the Cat, which seems to be, you know, I mean, it definitely seems like some sort of allusion or allusion to sex. And sprung, from my Baby Got Back knowledge, sprung means to male. It's a term for male arousal. Let's just leave it at that. But I have no idea. I mean, obviously we can make an inference on the term cat in this case, but that doesn't make sense. Old G from the hood went down to the beach, but his game was weak. Met a sweet thing named Yolanda. She had the gold momos on a brand new Honda. So my boy stepped up with a gangster pitch. Better come on and get with this. A 40 dog in his hand and he's sagging. But pretty soon the cat's gonna tag him. Later that night, Yolanda got busy in the back of his big black Cadillac. I mean, it would be sprung in the cat.
I'm so glad you're having this conversation with people and not me.
I'd like to get an email. Can somebody please? Because I looked on Urban Dictionary and it's not on there. Like, I was really hoping.
That was your duty to fix that then, Mr. Ibbett.
Oh, I could have added it. I don't need that in my history. Exactly. So, Brian, a podcaster from Arvada, Colorado, who also contributed the term sprung on the cat to Urban Dictionary.
This is why I'm happy that I'm co-host and not host here.
Yeah. I'll probably also why you're really glad that you do the editing of this show, so you can decide what stays in and what doesn't.
Yeah, look, people, I'll tell you, I'm actually a really, really foul-mouthed, horrible person. I just edit it all out.
That's right. Oh, yeah, you should hear Hammond. I can't believe the Hammond that you guys hear compared to the Hammond I hear. Totally different. All right, in 1993, Mac Daddy, or specifically Baby Got Back, won the Grammy for Best Rap Solo Performance. And MTV would only show the video later in the evening because of many, quote, many, many complaints.
So I can kind of understand this. He's a guy, grown man, wearing a sweatsuit, singing from the back of a spinning butt.
Yeah.
A giant spinning butt.
Well, if you saw the most recent MTV Video Music Awards, that's basically what Lizzo does for her live performance.
Oh.
So I think that it's no surprise that standards have changed at the old MTV, but dancing in front of or on top of a large derriere, it's passé now. It's all the norm.
Everyone. If you're not doing it, then you're nobody.
That's right. But it is interesting. I mean, let's see, not seminar. Mac Daddy was 10 years, a decade after Girls on Film came out, even 11 years after Girls on Film came out. And that was a song that they only played at night too. So stuff staying pretty even keel at MTV for those first 10 years. And then all standards getting thrown out the window as of, who knows, a few years after this.
Well, I mean, they had a hard time with like Freeze Frame and that song by the Tubes.
She's a Beauty?
Yeah, that one.
Oh, really? Yeah. Wait, Freeze Frame by Jay Giles Band?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it goes about photography. So, and a certain type of photography.
Oh, I didn't realize that's what that was about. Well, that certainly would make sense. I knew what Centerfold was about because that's pretty much right there in the title, but I have to go look at the lyrics of Freeze Frame because I listened to that album over and over and over again. The last Peter Wolf album with Jay Giles. And
then there was also Photograph from Def Leppard. Same thing.
Well, yeah, I figured that. Sure. That one makes sense. Yeah. Gotcha. Are you saying that these are all shown late at night because they all have to do with photography?
Yes, exactly.
Oh, or I thought it was because they were porny. Back to our show. Also in 1992, Mr. A Lot partnered up with Mudhoney for Freak Mama for the soundtrack to the film Judgment Night.
I freaking loved that soundtrack because it combined rap music and like real hard metal acts and grunge.
I listened to that song and then I'm like, oh, I'm gonna listen to the rest of this album, even though, you know, there's no more Sir Mix-a-Lot on it. It was a great concept and it worked really, really well.
Yeah, and it fits super well in the movie. The movie's flawed. I won't say it's bad, it's flawed.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
but I really enjoyed the way the music worked within the movie, and it made me like the movie more.
Hmm. Yeah, I think that's valid. Sure, so a good soundtrack, totally do that. I think Reality Bites probably without the soundtrack is a much worse movie.
It just bites.
Singles, great soundtrack, probably a better movie for it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, most definitely.
Yeah. Huh. All right. That's a great question for maybe a live show topic where we get call-in listeners or something, right? Where we talk about, all right, what movie is elevated because it has a much better soundtrack?
Yeah.
1994, Chief Butanaka album came out and was made it to number 69 on the Billboard Top 200 and number 28 on the R&B hip-hop charts. Contained the singles Put 'Em on the Glass and Just a Pimpin' in Me. I had to do that one as Chris Rock. Put 'Em on the Glass. I'm rolling down windows, pointing at phones, and she's popping them buttons and yanking that blouse. Girl, let it all out. And that's what she did, baby. Ain't no kid. 36 D's, I'm I want to say his next album opens with that comedy routine, doesn't it?
Which is, I think so. Which is actually a song about microbiology and using a microscope.
Yes, exactly. Use a fresh, clean slide. Yeah, I don't know if I approve of him basically somebody's driving on the road and they see him in his Lamborghini drive by. Don't pass, just put him on the glass. Well, maybe have your passenger put them on the glass. But while you're driving, keep 10 and 2 on the wheel.
Keep them
in your shirt.
Keep them facing forward.
That's right, exactly. Take them out at the light.
Just like your cell phone.
Right, exactly. The latter song, Just a Pimpin' to Me, was nominated for a Grammy but lost to Let Me Ride by Dr. Dre. In 1996, Return of the Bumpasaurus almost received no promotion and didn't sell well. Because of that, he left his label. And around this time, he worked with the Presidents of the United States of America under the name Subset. It was a combination of rap and rock, but none of it was ever released, unfortunately.
That's something I want to hear. I want to hear bits and pieces.
Oh, for sure. It's got, you know, at some point it's going to be released, right?
You would hope.
Yeah, I would think so. Boy, that Return of the Bumpasaurus, with the exception of one song, which we'll talk about later on, I felt it to be very samey, unlistenable.
It was almost like something he put out to fulfill a contract obligation, not something he wanted to put out.
Which is probably the case. Yeah. I'd say there's a very strong likelihood that was the case. In 2003, he released Daddy's Home. Big Johnson was the single from that.
Are you going to play that tonight for Scott when he comes on?
I will not, probably. I do not expect that I will do that. In 2006, he made an appearance on Adult Swim's and Tom Goes to the Mayor. A couple years after that, he appeared on Robot Chicken singing Table Be Round. It was about King Arthur, but sung to the tune of Baby Got Down.
Table be round. Table be round. Now with this circulation, we can have nice conversation.
Can you hear me now?
I can hear.
Holy cow.
Make every night say,
wow. Now you know that we cannot fail when we're looking for the Holy Grail.
360 on the parameter, and you know hoes like diameter.
Very, very funny. Worth checking out if you haven't seen it. In 2010, he announced that his next album, Done Forgot About Mix, he released the single Cars, that one. The video quickly hit and broke through the 1 million views mark, but no release date still has been set for the album.
Maybe you'll see us. Cars and coffee, raise up off me, pop a mic, get an Enzo, or Black Phantom with the smoked out windows. 5.99 is fine, not to 63.5. Swoop through, scoop your daughter, got a 4.58 on order. And my car's got miles. Garage Queens, that's your style.
And a remix of Pucifer's song Conditions of My Parole was supplied for their album All Mixed Up. This is where we get into the producing credits for him. 2013 saw him produce Dream for Aaron Jones and The Way.
So in 2014, he performed with the Seattle Symphony. And on YouTube, you can find him doing Posse on Broadway with a symphony. And you can see him doing Baby Got Back with a symphony and a crowd of women dancing with him.
Right.
That video alone is worth watching just for the people on stage dancing.
Well, use me, cause you ain't that average groovy. I seen her dancing, to hell with romance, and she sweat. And I'm tired of magazines, saying black butts are the thing. Check the average black man and ask him that. She got a pack much back. Where's my pillows?
100%. And there's a woman in a black dress that Hammond pointed out to me or suggest I look for. I mean, it's not hard to see her. She's very prominent. She steals the scene more than Courtney Cox did and Bruce Springsteen's Dancing in the Dark video.
Yeah, there's one comment on the YouTube comments that says the woman in the black dress has been waiting to do this since 1992.
Yeah, totally true. Totally true. Of course, a few years ago, Nicki Minaj released the song Anaconda, which featured samples from Baby Got Back, specifically the line, "My anaconda don't want none unless you got buns, hun." And it just plays that ad nauseum. Currently, he hosts a morning radio show on Seattle's 103.7.
I hope it's not some crazy, dumb morning zoo type show.
You know, I don't know. It would be interesting to listen and see. I bet there are aspects of it that is that. But it's probably like a mix of, you know, playing new rap and classic rap, and then probably like, here's the news.
Traffic on the nines, news at the top of the hour.
That's right, yes.
Let's check in with General Gridlock.
Oh, no, can you imagine?
Sir Mix-a-Lot talking to General Gridlock.
Driving on the 5.
Right now, your posse's not moving on Broadway because there's an accident.
Right, exactly. Exactly. All right. Well, I see no statistics in general notes. We talked about those all in here.
Yeah, we kind of hit the highlights right off the bat, other than the fact that he seems like he's able to fill roles in not just as a rapper, but as a producer and an entertainer and as a sounding board for other people, as a mentor. So those are all things I think are pretty admirable and taught him how to move through the business as he ages, as well as the industry ages.
Yeah. I'd say on the whole, I'm way more impressed with his rapping ability and just how he seems like a really, really genuine guy, more so than his music. I think he's bigger and better than the sum of his music, especially those later albums. Those first few albums, though, great stuff. So,
yeah.
All right. So you show up and you see a Sir Mix-a-Lot concert. There aren't many looking at this list here. What song do you think?
I didn't make a list because there's only one.
There's only one. Come on. It's going to be Baby Got Back. And sure enough, setlist.fm confirms it. But again, I mean, it's not like there are a lot of... There are not a lot of concerts listed on setlist.fm for Sir Mix-a-Lot. So, baby, I want to get whipped up and take your picture. My homeboy's trying to warn me, but that butt you got makes me so horny. Ooh, rump a smooth skin. You say you want to get in my bins? Well, use me, because you ain't that average groupie. I seen her dancing to hell with romance, and she's sweat.
Is the set list for the symphony on there?
It might be, because there's a lot listed in, what year was that? 2017?
2014.
Oh, 2014. There are four things listed. Let's take a look. Possibly there's one at the Seattle Center, but it doesn't say, none of it says with the symphony. So that one is just, that's the only one that was at the Seattle Center, or that's the only one that was in Seattle, I should say. It's Bucking My Horse, My Hoopty, Jump On It, Posse on Broadway, Testarossa, Swasp, Baby Got Back, and Put Them on the Glass. That's the only.
Okay. I want to put this out there. If anyone has a recording of the symphony show, like a bootleg of the whole thing, let me know surreptitiously and we can work something out.
Very good. The Sound Archivy Podcast does not condone the use of file sharing for music distribution. Sorry, lawyers had to legally insert that. That wouldn't even us.
I get it. I'm suggesting that maybe.
I'd love to hear that too. So, yeah, for sure. But speaking, oh, by the way, there were a couple of covers on there, surprisingly. Let me pull that back up.
Sergeant Pepper's Lonely Hearts Club Band.
But Smells Like Teen Spirit.
Which is one he's done
a few times. Another Seattle, of course.
Yeah.
But he does it both individually, and then he does it as a combo with The Roof Is on Fire by Rockmaster Scott and the Dynamic Three. So pretty cool, actually. That's one I'd love to hear. And that one I bet we can find somewhere on YouTube. All right. Let's get to our cover. Speaking of covers, who would we like to hear Sir Mix-a-Lot cover? Now, and I'm using cover really specifically in the term of sampling. Okay.
So before you do this, let me just clarify. You're thinking kind of like what Tech N9ne did with Art of Noise.
Yes. I'd even go so far as to say what Kanye did with Daft Punk.
Okay. All right.
Yeah. So using elements more than just the music from the backing of the song, like way more than Nicki Minaj's Anaconda, where it just uses basically that sound, and then, but using the song as kind of a basis, but adding his own thing to it, but maybe keeping the chorus the same. And even, I'd even say in my case, I'd love to hear the original band keep the chorus and then have Sir Mix-a-Lot do music around it. I'm saying Uprising by Muse would be a great, I think, all in all, it would just be a great backing track for a rap song because it's
Is that the Doctor Who? Is that the Doctor
Who? That's the Doctor Who one. Yep. Okay. Yep. I think that would be a great one. And then just keep the, you know, they will not control us. They will, you know, we will be victorious, blah, blah, blah. Keep that stuff. Keep the chorus going, whether it's Muse doing the vocals or maybe
a Dalek.
Sir Mix-a-Lot in a band or something like that. Yeah. But then having Sir Mix do some rap in between the choruses, I think would be really cool.
Yeah, that's actually a great choice. I like that a lot.
Well, how about you? What did you pick?
So I went a little bit more serious. I actually took it more at face value, I guess. Maybe not as creatively. And I wanted to keep it in the Seattle world. I wanted to keep the song kind of iconic, but I wanted to see it from another point of view. Mm-hmm. And I picked Jeremy from Pearl Jam.
Oh, that's a good one. Yeah.
Because
another Seattle. Sure.
Yeah. So it'd still be very serious, but it'd give it a different edge to it because of delivery and all the other elements that Sir Mix-a-Lot brings to a piece of music.
Yeah. That would be very interesting. And that would be straight, like doing the vocals and stuff.
Yeah.
Would you have him add rap? Like, we haven't heard him do much singing to see what,
I think the whole thing would have to be turned into a rap cadence to make it work for him.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
With maybe the chorus done by somebody else, but I still would like to see the attempt made because I think, like I said, there'd be some value added to the song by that.
Very cool. All right, well, let's get to our playlist. This is where we pick five songs to add. I didn't find a greatest hits, although I know I could pretty much name, you know, at least one song that would be on it, but did not see like a Sir Mix-a-Lot Essentials on iTunes or anything like that. So I feel like we're pretty safe as long as we stay away from Baby Got Back. And neither of us Baby Got Back.
I think I stayed away from Square Dance Rap for the same reason. It's his oldest. It's
probably, did you?
Yeah, okay. I stayed away from that just because Baby Got Back, Square Dance Rap, probably would be on the Greatest Hits album.
I think so, and probably one of my choices would be on there, and we'll get to that one. All right, so first one on my list is One Time's Got No Case. This is from Mac Daddy, and it's actually it's the opening song to the album Mac Daddy, which is my favorite of his albums. Because I know a lot of rich females, I'm shaking them just like this, keeping that Porsche in fifth, King County, cops don't quit. Even when a young brother's legit, so they follow me wherever I go. I am on the radio with a scanner that I bought from the store. Cause a brother like Mick's gotta know. I found the whole thing, the whole album, enjoyable. And this one just kind of sets the stage for it. And it's a good song. It talks about, you know, police profiling and which we were just starting to get into in 1992, just starting to kind of be aware of and learn about what the even the OJ trial, that stuff came a little bit after that, so it was before even any of that. Jump on it. This is about the only thing I liked from Bumpasaurus. And even then I can't deny that it is kind of a dumb song, but it's so addictive and fun. I can't stop smiling when I sing it, and it works for everybody. It's basically the one that goes, Seattle, jump on it, jump on it. What's up, San Antonio? What's up, San Antonio? Jump on it, jump on it, jump on it. What's up, Austin? What's up? What's up, Austin? What's up, Austin? Jump on it, jump on it, jump on it. What's up, Houston? What's up? What's up, Houston? What's up, Houston? Jump on it. And it's as close as you're going to get to a cover of the Apache song by, and I can't remember who did that. But it's a song that you've heard in multiple different formats. Ride from Chief Bootknocker, another album that, you know, I wasn't nuts about. There wasn't much after Mac Daddy that I really enjoyed. Still like butts.
sisters, well, let's see. She's thick, walking with a switch, carrying a beeper. You better not.
But Ride from Chief Butanaka and Jump On It from Bumpasaurus were both ones that kind of stood out to me. Maybe just among the weaker stuff on those last albums. But Ride was a pretty fun one too. Seattle Ain't Bullshitting. I'm just gonna say it. You can edit, you can beat me or whatever you want to do.
I'm gonna add reverb.
Oh, good. All right. Wow. Awesome. That's also from Mac Daddy. And it's because of the song. We obviously listened to the music before we recorded this show. I had no idea until then, or wasn't aware that he was from Seattle. But now, I will never forget that Sir Mix-a-Lot is from Seattle.
And I got that 7-7 coupe with the trues and straps. I couldn't roll no hubcaps. It wasn't easy trying to compete with my homies in the CD. Here's my plan, funky ass sedan, laid down with the bold money in my hand. They're all whipped up, carload full of freaks with the
See, it's funny, I remember it because in Posse on Broadway, he calls himself the J.R. Ewing of Seattle.
Yeah, and again, the first time I listened to that song was about 45 minutes before I listened to Seattle Ain't Bullshitting. So, I learned it. I would say I learned it all at roughly the same time. And then last one could be considered a hit. It was released as a single from the Seminar album. It is My Hoopty.
My white wall flaking. Hit Mickey D's. My Haraji starts to bug. He ate a quarter pound. I threw the pickles on my rug. Running, moving, tabs expired. Girlies try to diss and say my car looks tired. My brakes, outslid skittles, tinted back window with the bubble in the middle. Whose car is it? Posse won't say. We all play
it's, if it's a hit, that's fine. I don't care. I really liked it. And it's funny I didn't have anything from Swass, because I did like the album Swass, but I think Mac Daddy is my favorite of his albums.
So it's going to be hard then, because I would say that you send them to Swass for their perk for Amazon. But I think you're leaning more toward Mac Daddy.
Yeah, I would lean more towards Mac Daddy, but yeah, I think Swass is a very good starting point to listen to his stuff if you're not familiar.
Yeah. All right. My list. So I already talked about how I like Square Dance Rap, but the other side of Square Dance Rap is Buttermilk Biscuits. Now. Never had so much fun when the first time I heard this song, when he breaks out the Kentucky Fried Chicken, Do the Suckers Just Right, I was done. This was now going to be a mainstay in my music listening. Sure. And it has not been off of a mixtape or out of my phone since 91.
Wow.
Because I love this dumb piece of music. Immensely.
Yeah, that was a lot of fun. And that was Swass, wasn't it? Okay, that was fun. That was fun.
Yeah. The next one I picked was the cover of Iron Man, or the sampling, live sampling of Iron Man from Swat.
Good enough. In a junkyard scuffle, whipping adversaries with a brass belt buckle. Born in the ghetto, hard like metal. Got an 87 vent with a fat gas pedal. Live a hard life, shave with a knife. Love to get freaky on the gloomiest night. I got childhood scars in the streets of my life. Girls laugh, now they're begging to be. And I like the original version, the 1991 version of it, where they actually have Metal Church doing some of the vocals. It adds an extra dynamic to it that is interesting, and I like it. So I like that one. Also, he shaves with a knife, and he likes to be on the gloomiest nights. Very good.
Damn, this album is a demonstration of various styles of a hip-hop art. I got paid, but I do it because I love it. All enemies, hush, let the seminar start. To the seminar. To the seminar. To the seminar.
I picked Seminar for my third. This is a good solid mix of styles, but it's very, very unique to him. And it kind of epitomizes like how he approaches rap music and music and production.
Okay.
Number four is A Rapper's Reputation from Mac Daddy.
Wanna start to get with me, hit me. There's a girl with a back like a Cadillac. I walked
fucked up and got pushed back. Her boyfriend told her I'm a player. Drop salt on a dope rhyme, say ya. My reputation offends this man. Next day hit William Land Park. Creeping like a shark. Spot a bad freak and I swoop like a hawk. What up? How you like to roll with a champ?
Please, all y'all. He's
really talented and sets a really, really cool vibe with the song and in general with what he does, especially in that. I think you're right with Mac Daddy kind of being the end of an era for him.
Mm-hmm.
And I think he kind of left on a high note.
Yeah, I think so. I think so.
Not left, because he's still doing stuff.
Yeah, he continued doing stuff after that. But this song would have been one of my picks too.
Yeah, this one ended a particular period of creativity for him.
Yeah.
And I think he ended on a very high note in this period of creativity.
Agreed.
And then I picked Freak Mama from Judgment Night. This is one of my favorite tracks from the album. And I have to say that when the album came out, it was kind of a big deal. It was one of the first large-scale, major cultural acknowledgments that rap and metal were going to be together and sticking around together.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we'd had a few other instances, like the Run DMC and the Aerosmith and like Public Enemy and Anthrax and a few little things here and there. But this was like, oh, this is a thing now, and it's not ever going away.
Yeah, right. It's funny. Yeah, I don't know if this was the genesis of it, but it certainly is the earliest version of that that I remember. And now you've got, you know, or not now, but then in the mid-90s after this, in the late 90s, you'd get just regular rock songs that had these rap interludes. And I'm wondering if this kind of helped set the table for that.
It probably did.
Mm-hmm. It's cool. I really like it. And it really makes me want to hear the President's USA joint project.
So Mr. Mix-a-Lot, when your Google alert goes off about the show, think about digging some of those out of the archives and, you know, doing something with them.
Yeah, for sure. For sure. Wow, very good. That was a shorter catalog, so I guess a little bit of a shorter episode of Soundography. That's all right. We enjoyed it. We enjoyed this.
We got next episode.
Oh, geez, we're going to make up for it. Holy cow. Yeah, so our next episode is going to be the music of Dolly Parton. And we've decided that because there are, I don't know, 60 Dolly Parton studio albums, that we're basically going to work from her very first album through to 1984 and the soundtrack to the film Rhinestone with Sylvester Stallone. And it's almost like we said, let's go from the first to the worst. Yeah, don't know.
We could really end up enjoying Rhinestone. Don't talk out of school yet, Brian.
Well, you know, it's funny. I actually saw the movie in theaters, and I remember it being a very tough watch. But it wasn't a tough watch because of Dolly Parton. It was a tough watch because Sylvester Stallone sings in it, and that makes it a very hard thing to enjoy.
So why hasn't this been film sacked yet?
I don't know. I don't know. That's a really good question because it is Sylvester Stallone. He fits in perfectly with the whole film sack thing. And I think we've done 9 to 5, so it's not even out of our wheelhouse to do a Dolly Parton film. I just think that this not even on paper does it sound like a good idea. There's not even a way to make it look like it seem like a good idea.
So here's my dream is that you and Dunaway would hate it. Scott would somehow try to find a way to defend it and fail.
I know. and
Randy would just pontificate.
Totally. I mean, you totally do that. I don't see that as a bad thing. I see that as a, yeah. Anyway, so like I said, we're going to do Dolly Parton 1967 through 1984, I believe is the range. We're going to we'll consider it Dolly Part 1. And maybe someday there might be a Dolly Part 2. But for right now, that's going to be our Dolly Part 1.
I like what you're doing there. Dolly Part One is in like Dolly Parton.
Yeah. Dolly Part One. We're going to lift and separate those two halves of her catalog. Anyway, let's say you want to reach us. If you want to send me an email about that comment, about that pun, about that joke, soundographypodcast@gmail.com is the email address to use. You can follow us on Twitter at the Soundography. Our website is soundography.com. Hey, you know what you'll find there? You'll find everything. Everything we've ever done right there. Our playlists, our show notes from every episode we've ever done. Even the special episodes, like the stuff we've done for Coverthon and stuff we've done for other projects. It's all right there at soundography.com. Like I said, the playlists that we put together every show are there whenever we can get them. Whenever the music is available on Spotify, I should say. And we also give you a link to Amazon to buy what we consider to be a breakthrough or standout album or greatest hits album, if that's the case may be. You can also support us on Patreon by going to patreon.com/soundography and leave us a review anywhere you want, anywhere you get your podcast, leave us a review. It helps other people discover the show. And we love to hear your feedback, however it is that you give it to us. All right. I guess that's it. Make sure you're here next week to hear us stumble out of bed and stumble to the kitchen and pour ourselves a thick glass of Dolly Parton's catalog. In the meantime, for Hammond Chamberlain, this is Brandon Bitt saying we'll see you next time right here on Soundography.
Is part of the Frog Pants Network. Get more at frogpants.com.